Good evening, everybody. My name is John, and I am your host with the most. So be prepared to be scared silly, because this is Boo, My Dad Says.
What's up, everybody? This is John, and welcome to our fifth episode of Boo, My Dad Says. That's right. Can you believe it? It's our fifth episode. We've been doing this now for a little over a month. Man, time really flies. I can't believe that we have been doing this show for a month, and so much has gone on. I have learned a lot of things about podcasting, and a lot of the stuff, yes, I'm still kind of experimenting, trying to get the best sound that I can get. I'm recording tonight. I'm using an AirPod Pro as my microphone to see how that's going to sound, and I'm not too certain how that's going to sound. I feel like it's going to pick up all my swallows and everything, and that might be a little bit of annoying, so we'll see how that turns out. Another thing, you know, that I've learned is, like, you know, man, podcasting can be hard. You know, there's a lot of research involved, which, you know, I really enjoy the research. I've enjoyed finding out about all these different haunted locations and things like that. You know, we've had new developments just this week. We actually have our own website. You can go to www.boomydadsays.com, and there we are. There's our website. You can click on the episodes link there, and it'll take you down, and it'll show you our three most listened to providers, which is Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor. So those are the three that I'm going to display on the website. And, you know, we have a new email address that goes with the website. You can now email me at john@boomydadsays.com. You know, and I really hope that you guys will eventually start, you know, sending me some email. I would love to hear from you all, the listeners. I want to, you know, showcase your stories. I want to, you know, get those stories out there, because those personal stories are the most emotional ones. They pack the most punch. And, you know, because, you know, I can do a whole lot of research and things like that, but that doesn't, you know, just have the same amount of heart as, you know, like the story that I did in the very first episode from my friend Tammy, whose parents went out and didn't, you know, and actually got an EVP from a cemetery when she was younger. You know, I'm just like, wow, you know, I don't know if I would have the guts to try that or not, but, you know, now that I'm doing this podcast, yeah, I may try to get out and actually take some more ghost tours and things like that. I know we did one a few years ago down in Charleston. We went on this boat that went around kind of like the bay area there, and they, you know, told us about some of the hauntings, you know, and I had remembered, you know, about the whole Pugin's Porch from that. You know, I had to look it up, but I remember them telling us about Pugin's Porch and the old city jail and things like that. So, you know, we're going to try to get out and about maybe once this COVID thing gets under control, because I don't know about you all guys, but, you know, it's really kind of got me down. It's kind of getting to me. I'm working from home 3 to 4 days a week now, and, you know, and it's, you know, gosh, I just miss people. You know, I really miss being social. I've got some friends that I would just give anything to give a big hug to. and just to, you know, just hang out with them. And if you're listening to this podcast, you know who you are. Hugs, big hugs to you there. And, you know, tonight's podcast, it's going to be different. It's going to be a little more off the cuff. And because I had to change it at the last minute. I had the plan to do Nashville and the Ryman Auditorium this week, primarily the Ryman, and come up Monday. One of my favorite podcasts I listen to, the Hillbilly Horror Stories, they actually did a show on Nashville. And I'm like, man, I can't do that. I mean, that I don't want to, you know, I know I don't have the same listenership as they do, but, you know, I don't want to sit there and be like, well, you know, they're doing Nashville, and I guess, you know, let me just try to come up here and let me see if I can one-up them. That's just not me. I there's, I want to, you know, be a productive part of the podcast community, the, you know, especially the paranormal community, because I really, you know, hopefully at some point in time, I would like to get to know some of these folks. You know, a little bit about the shows that I listen to. I listen to Hillbilly Horror Stories. I listen to History Goes Bump. And I listen to Graveyard Tales. Those are my three favorite. And I also listen to Terry's Mysterious Moments. And, you know, I really enjoy those shows. You know, they are, you know, they're clean shows. You know, they, you know, they're a lot of fun. They have a lot of personality. And, you know, I really hope that someday, you know, I can get up there and, you know, and be friends with those folks. And maybe even, you know, meet up with them and do a, you know, a ghost tour or something with them, you know, or do an investigation. That would be a lot of fun because, you know, I have to say, I think Jerry Pauly from Hillbilly Horror Stories is just absolutely hilarious. You know, I just, you know, I love the chemistry that he and his wife have on the air. And, you know, and every once in a while you'll hear their dog Ninja, I think, snoring. And, you know, they're just good. They just good people. So, like, you know, salt of the earth, you know, and I love how they, you know, they really reach out to their listeners. So, you know, give them a listen. You know, Hillbilly Horror Stories, Graveyard Tales, History Goes Bump. I really enjoy their shows. But so tonight, yes, it's going to be a little more off the cuff because I had to, you know, kind of come up with a backup plan. But I'm really happy with this backup plan. We're going to be talking about the Barter Theater and the Martha Washington Inn up in Abingdon, Virginia. And that's like just a hop, skip, and a jump from where I live down here in Jonesboro. And speaking of Jonesboro, I am going to be doing a show sooner or later about Jonesboro because supposedly it is like one of the top haunted towns in America, at least in some of the research that I have been doing. And so I want to make sure I do Jonesboro right, especially since I live here. I mean, hey, you know, I don't want to be sitting here and do a bad show about my town. But tonight we are going to be doing the Barter Theater and the Martha Washington Inn up in Abingdon, right after a word from our sponsors. Tonight we're going to start off with the Barter Theater. And the Barter Theater, it's definitely had some very unique origins. It was built in 1831 as the Sinking Springs Presbyterian Church. And then over the years, it had morphed into a town hall and a fire hall. The Barter Theater, it was thought up by a local actor named Robert Porterfield during the Great Depression. And on June 10th, 1933, the theater opened for the very first production, and it charged 40 cents per ticket. Patrons did not have to pay in cash, though. And this is, well, that's why it's called the Barter Theater. The surrounding community, it was a very rural area up in the Abingdon area. And, well, just this, you know, if you're not familiar with East Tennessee, Southwest Virginia, it's, you know, we do have, you know, our towns and, you know, small cities, Bristol, Kingsport, Johnson City, but largely it's made up of a lot of rural communities. And back during the Great Depression, those communities were very, you know, very, very poor. I mean, you know, I think the Alabama song, Song of the South, probably said it best that, you know, even when the Depression hit, this area was so poor that, you know, they couldn't tell the difference, you know. And, but what Robert Porterfield did is he would take in trade 40 cents worth of like vegetables, since the, you know, area around here was mainly farmers, you know. And, you know, he said that with vegetables you cannot sell, you can buy a good laugh, you know. And the Barter Theater, you know, bartered their craft for local goods. And, you know, 4 out of 5 visitors paid with vegetables, dairy products, or even livestock. So I wonder what 40 cents of livestock would be back in the, you know, Great Depression era. Is that like maybe a chicken or something like that? I don't know. But like I said, the building itself dated back to 1831 and was the Sinking Springs Presbyterian Church. And when it became a fire hall, they had, you know, when the fire hall moved out and became the Barter Theater, they had left the big town fire alarm actually in the building. So there was a time when the actors there, if there was a fire and the alarm went off, you know, to alert the fire department, you know, and it was the middle of a production, they would have to freeze in mid-sentence, mid-action on the stage, till that alarm quit. So there are definitely several ghost sightings here at the Barter. And, you know, and I have to say, I mean, I'm not surprised, but it actually, the Barter is said to be haunted by Robert Porterfield as one of the ghosts there at the theater. Now, Mr. Porterfield died in 1971, and he is the most common spirit people seem to run into when they're at the Barter. One of the stories talks about how there were some patrons that were sitting up in the balcony and they had saw this man dressed in white, which he did frequently, and they actually spoke with him. And then seconds later, he disappeared with no explanation. Now, I don't know if they knew while they were speaking with him if he was a ghost, and it doesn't say what the conversation was, but, you know, I imagine that it could be something like, you know, along the lines of if I was his ghost anyways, you know, how proud he would be of how things are going at that theater, you know, and how proud he is of the things that, you know, the Barter Theater has accomplished. You know, they put on some really great performances. I've saw several plays there, you know, Driving Miss Daisy, The Christmas Carol. I believe I saw It's a Wonderful Life there. You know, I've never come away disappointed. So, you know, if I was his ghost, that's what I would be talking to people about. Now, the next spirit, on the other hand, though, that's one I don't know if I'd want to meet. And this one is was a spirit of an employee that used to hold seances in the production hall. And they have been known to scream at the barter actors during rehearsals. The current artistic director, at least as of 2018, was Richard Rose, or is Richard Rose. And this is the account that he gave about this employee. And he doesn't name who the employee is, but he said, "I was heading over to the production building to the rehearsal hall to rehearse a musical. And the people had been in rehearsal with the music director learning music right before I had gotten there. He said, when I got there, the entire cast came streaming out of the production building. While they were rehearsing, they had all stopped for a minute, and they heard these footsteps coming across the hall, and then this voice just boomed out, 'Get out.'" Which at that point, and I can't say that I blame them, they all just got out of the auditorium. And he said it took him about a half an hour to convince everybody to go back in the building so they could rehearse. So yeah, I could see that being a little unnerving. I don't think I would want to be in that situation, you know. But all in all, I guess in the grand scheme of ghosts, that's fairly tame, you know, instead of having things thrown around or stuff like that. But, you know, then there is also, and this is going to lead into our next segment about the Martha Washington Inn, there were some Civil War soldiers. Their spirits have been seen there because they were killed in a tunnel that once ran between the Barter and the Martha Washington Inn. And it said it would haunt the basement. That would be pretty terrifying to see, you know, military ghosts and things, you know, because, I mean, you know, you don't know what kind of condition, you know, you would see them in. So that would be the most unnerving one of all for me. Our next stop through Abingdon, Virginia is the Martha Washington Inn. And this place is like literally just right across the street from the Barter. I mean, you could practically throw a baseball from the front steps of the Barter and hit the inn. It's that close. But the Martha Washington Inn, it's a historic hotel that was originally built in 1832 by General Francis Preston. And he was a hero of the War of 1812. And he had built this house for his family of 9 children. It's a big family. Now, over the course of the last 174 years, the building has served as an upscale women's college, a Civil War hospital and barracks, and as a residence for the Barter Theater. In addition to hotel services, the inn now also offers like spa treatments, and, you know, people have definitely had their fair share of hauntings there. So the first spirit that we're going to cover at the Martha Washington Inn is, it's called the Yankee Sweetheart. And this is, as you can guess where this is going when you say sweetheart, I mean, this is going to be one of those, you know, tragic love stories, you know, kind of like how we talked about the Edgar Allan Poe story last week with Charleston. And, you know, a lot of ghost stories and situations, they all seem to, you know, a lot of them seem to rotate around the common theme, you know, that of loss or, you know, unfinished business, things like that. So this story, the Yankee Sweetheart, it's It's a tragic love affair between a student at the Martha Washington College and, I guess, well, it says her Yankee sweetheart. You know, the Martha Washington College, it was an all-girls college, but during the Civil War, as we'd mentioned earlier, it served as a hospital for the Civil War. Well, several of the girls, they didn't return home during the war, but they volunteered to stay at the school as nurses. Captain John Stoves, a Yankee officer, was severely wounded and captured in town. Soldiers carried Captain Stoves through the cave system under Abingdon and up a secret stairway to the third floor of the building. Captain Stoves lay gravely wounded in what is now room 403. For weeks, a young student named Beth nursed and cared for him, and she found herself falling in love with the brave captain, and he returned her sentiments. So that's kind of like what they say, you know, the Florence Nightingale effect. Often, Beth would lovingly play the violin to ease his pain and suffering. But their love was not to last long. As he lay dying, he called, "Play something, Beth. I'm going." Unfortunately, Beth was too late to escort him out with a song because he died suddenly. Beth tearfully played a sweet southern melody as a tribute to him. When a Confederate officer entered and explained that he was taking Captain Stoves as a prisoner, Beth faced him triumphantly and said, "He has been pardoned by an officer higher than General Lee. Captain Stoves is dead." Beth died a few weeks later from typhoid fever. Many of the female students who later attended the college, as well as in employees and guests, have heard Beth's sweet violin music in the night. Others report that Beth visits room 403 to comfort her Yankee soldier. You know, I mean, a lot of stories that I've ran across, you know, do have this common theme. And, you know, love is a very powerful emotion that, you know, I could see how, you know, it can, you know, cause something like this to happen. You know, I mean, you know, you hear the story of Romeo and Juliet, which I know that's totally fiction, but, you know, the whole story about with Edgar Allan Poe and Rachel, was it Rachel? My mind has kind of slipped me there. You know, the unrequited love, and, you know, that can, I can so totally see how that could cause, you know, somebody to leave an impression, you know. And I've talked about this in a past episode, just kind of in passing, but, you know, there is a theory in the paranormal world called the Stone Tape Theory. And what that basically implies is that there is the earth can almost record events like a tape recorder. You know, strong emotions and events, you know, like battles or, you know, ballroom dances and things like that, they seems like they can leave like an impression on certain areas that will, under certain circumstances, cause these scenarios to replay. And, you know, this story sounds like it would be a great candidate for that theory. You know, she had lost her, you know, her true love. And, you know, playing that sad song, you know, that could just get recorded into the, you know, the house itself. And yeah, I could see how that would apply there. Now, another thing in this house, the Martha Washington Inn, was there was a young Confederate soldier that was assigned to carry some important papers about the location of the Union Army to General Robert E. Lee. And, well, it's another love story, I guess. He was hopelessly in love with a young woman at the college. Knowing the risks he was facing, the brave soldier felt he must say farewell to his lady love before leaving. The soldier traveled through the cave system underlying Abingdon and used that same secret stairway in the story before to enter the college. As the soldier was saying goodbye to his love, two Union officers came up the stairs and found him. So, before I jump into the ghost part, I mean, it seems like, you know, the Martha Washington Inn was playing both ends against him. Well, I guess being a Civil War hospital, yeah, okay, I guess you could say that, you know, if a soldier was captured, you know, being Union or Confederate, yeah, okay. Yeah, I could see that. So, but in this case, it was two Union soldiers that came up the stairs and they found this Confederate soldier there. With no way to escape, the young Confederate soldier was shot in front of his sweetheart, and when he fell, his blood stained the floor. The strange thing is that through the years, the blood stain continues to appear. Carpets over the area often develop mysterious holes over the stains. Even after the floors have been refinished, the stain continues to reappear, which is a sad reminder of the tragedy of the Civil War. Yeah, I have to say, this one I do find confusing. Mostly is just kind of a continuity issue with the story. You know, I know with it being a hospital, was it a Confederate hospital or a Union hospital, or did it play both ends against the middle? I'm not quite certain on that one, but you know, who's to say that one didn't happen? But it's just seems kind of, you know, I read the previous story where Confederate soldiers brought this Yankee soldier to be mended. And now Confederate soldiers there and then a Yankee soldier, a Union soldier, you know, comes up and they shoot the Confederates. So that I find that story a little confusing as far as, you know, some continuity there. And another apparition has been seen at the Martha Washington is a phantom horse. The phantom horse waits for his master outside the front steps, a Union soldier that was shot in front of the house in 1864. On moonless nights, the horse can be seen roaming the grounds, searching for his owner and awaiting the call to ride home. Now, I do have to wonder if... I figured that one out before I got my wanderings out if this was the horse that belonged to that Confederate, but no, it was for a Union soldier. So yeah, the hauntings here I do find kind of confusing. The basement walls are said to hold the spirits of black slaves that were kept in an underground chamber and that some were buried within the stone walls. Okay. That right there, I think, is also another, would be what I would call a stone tape theory. You know, all those the strong emotions, you know, that the slaves had, you know, they were in a very, you know, unforgiving area there, you know, kept underground in a chamber. And yeah, I could totally see how, you know, that would just record that energy, that emotion, and it would I could certainly see that being a haunting waiting to happen right there. And then lastly, and this connects this one's going to connect us back up to the barter, is there was a tunnel that once connected the Martha Washington Inn with the Barter Theater. The entrance on the inside of the tunnel had been closed off for several years, but the section below the theater was still used to run electrical cables. Actors who used the tunnel to walk between the inn and the theater in the 1930s and 40s reported encountering a malevolent spirit. The specter was never seen, but sensed as a strong, evil presence. The spirit is believed to be either a man who was killed when the tunnel collapsed in 1890, or a Confederate soldier who used the tunnel to smuggle ammunition out of the inn's basement during the Civil War. Now, here's kind of that, continuity there is, which side, that's what I can't figure out, is what side of the Civil War was this inn being on? But I do find that rather confusing. Well, folks, I hope y'all have enjoyed our show tonight. And I know some things seemed a little less put together. As, like I said, I didn't get a chance to really write out my notes for this episode as this kind of came together last second. And I do apologize for that. But on the other hand, I kind of enjoyed being a little more free in this episode too. And I hope you all did too. Remember, if you like our show, please rate us in Apple Podcasts, because the more ratings I get, ratings and reviews, it helps me to move up in the search results when people are searching for shows of my type. And folks, I hope y'all are being safe out there. Make sure you're wearing your masks and, social distance. And most of all, thanks for watching the show. Good night and God bless.